So while you're looking that up, let's just pray together, shall we? Father, we pray, we thank you last week, Lord, you were speaking to us about loving one another, that the new covenant is in your love, and the new covenant that you gave for us was that we should love one another out of your love. And I just pray this morning you're going to show us, Father, as we look at the Bible, as we look at scriptures this morning, it's a bit of a study this morning that we'll understand about the covenant that you've made for me and the covenant you've made for each one of us and the new covenant that we're now living in, and that we would apply this to our lives. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, just come and apply this into our lives in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let me just say a few words about covenant and then we'll start reading through these scriptures. And I'll just make a few comments on these verses that you hear. You may want to get a copy of the CD because there are quite a few references here. And I don't know about you, but the fact is that when we hear someone speak, we probably take home about, what do they say?
10%.
You may have a bigger brain or able to take more. Maybe you can take 20, 30%. But the fact is that a week later, you'll only remember about 10% of what was said. This is why it's good to make notes of the things that, the important things that God was speaking to you about, not to make meticulous notes necessarily, but to write down those particular things that God was speaking to you about in a particular meeting, and to make a note of the references. So when you go home, the idea isn't not just that I spout off here with scriptures on the Sunday, you say, well, that was great, great service, Pastor, or great service, Paul, and have a great week and forget all about it, but we actually go away and we actually look at those scriptures and say, Holy Spirit, help me to apply these scriptures, these truths into my life, so I'm going to be changed by them. Yes? So that's what we need to do. So, a covenant. A covenant is a pledge. A covenant is a treaty. It's an agreement. It's a legal contract. A covenant is a promise. So that's what the word covenant means. And in the Bible, we've got the Old Covenant, right? What we call the Old Testament. And in the front of the Bible, we've got the New. The New Covenant or the New Testament. And we're just going to talk a little bit about this morning to make sure that we understand the whole concept and the teaching about covenant. Because if we don't understand that, there's a lot of things that we'll miss. And we'll just carry on regardless, but we'll miss some very important truths. In the Old Testament, the word covenant is used at least 250 times. And in the New Testament, I don't know how many times but it's used quite a bit in the New Testament as well, but it's the New Covenant that it's referring to. And I'm just going to show you how God is a covenant-keeping God. And whenever you hear the word covenant, it is always for blessing. It's always out of God's love, and it's always for a purpose that God has for a person or a people. I mean, covenants in the Bible are usually between kings and peoples, between God and a person, or between perhaps a God and a king. But the covenants are made between God and someone. Covenants, we have covenants, don't we? If you've got a mortgage, you signed a covenant agreement that you're going to pay your mortgage on the button every month for about 150 years. Hopefully the Lord come before then.
Oh, God have mercy.
Bless the Lord. I've just put down our money for the car that you took up an offering and we've just put the money down on a car. Praise the Lord. I haven't got it yet, but because the check's just working its way through. But I want to thank you this morning for your gifts, because we've been able to get hold of a car because of that. And I had to sign a covenant, an agreement, because I've taken out a 3-year warranty on this car to make sure that it's completely covered for any mishaps. I'm expecting no mishaps, but it's just it was a wise thing to do. So I signed a covenant, an agreement about this. Now God has written his covenant to you in the Bible. The Bible is God's covenant to you. It's his personal covenant to you. If you wonder what it is, it's all in here. There's thousands of promises in here from God to you. Thousands. And awesome. And the old part, the back part of the Bible, the Old Testament, is about the Old Covenant. The front part of the Bible is about the new covenant, and we're just going to look at those two things and see how they tie in together. God is our God is a covenant-keeping God. So if we can have, and perhaps all you guys can come to the front, and then you can pass the mic on and then go and sit down. But we're going to, here's some scriptures. First of all, God made a covenant to Adam and Eve. That's the number one. Genesis 1, 26 to 28. So let's just hear that in Genesis 2, 15 to 25, verses 15 to 25. So just listen to this.
Genesis 1, 26 to 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth."
Amen. So now here we have, just before we have the next scripture, here we have God making, it wasn't actually called a covenant, but it's a covenant, because God is commanding a blessing, is speaking a blessing over Adam and Eve, whom he created. He said, "I'm blessing you, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, take dominion." So God is giving a blessing and instructions about what to do, fill the whole earth. That's a pretty big promise, isn't it, that he gave to Adam and Eve. And so that was God's covenant, God's word to Adam and Eve. Now the next one is Noah. Who's number two?
Noah,
is it? Who's got number two on their piece of paper?
I have, but it's not Noah.
Not Noah. Is it Genesis chapter 6, verse 18?
2:15.
Oh, sorry. Okay, we're still with Adam and Eve. Sorry, Alistair, bless you. Sorry, I got that wrong.
Right, Genesis 2:15.
We're still with Adam and Eve.
"The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded man, 'You are free to eat of any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die.' The Lord God said, 'It is not good for you to be for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.' For the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was asleep, he took one of the man's ribs and crossed and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord made a woman from the rib, and he had taken out of the man, and he brought it to man. The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked and felt no shame.'"
Amen. That's great. So what we learn from this, thanks Alistair, this is God's covenant with Adam and Eve. And if you listen to what was said there, that when God created man and then he put Adam to sleep, knocked him out, took a rib out of him, you say, "Do you really believe?" Yes, we believe this is exactly as it says, because God is describing exactly what happened. And he made Eve out of Adam, and then he gave them some conditions. Did you see that? He was talking about blessings, that he would bless them, but then he's talking about conditions of the things that they were to do and the things that they weren't to do. So we learn about any covenant, that every covenant always has conditions. Conditions that God sets, and that's to do with blessings. It's because God wants to keep us blessed. So he gives us clear boundaries. that we're to keep in. And that's what that scripture was about Adam and Eve and what they were to do and what they weren't to do. Okay, now who's got Genesis 6, verse 18, Christine? Thank you.
But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you.
That was 6:18, and then chapter 8, verses 20 through to chapter 9, verses 1. This is God's covenant to Noah.
Then Noah built an ark to the Lord and took every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth.
That's a great one. Right, okay. So, multiply. I like that. That's great. It will be a new word we're going to use in this church. We're going to multiply. God set a covenant to Noah, and with Noah, he established, as he said there, I will establish my covenant with you. And then he sends him into the ark, destroys the then known world because of their sinfulness. And then through Noah and his family, there's this covenant that God makes. And what Christine just read in those other verses was there was a sacrifice. So wherever there's a covenant, there's always a sacrifice. There's always a sacrifice concerning covenant. So there's a sacrifice, there's blood involved. There's a sacrifice to seal and to ratify, to make sure that covenant that is made. So that's the one that God made to Noah. So this covenant now is continuing down. He's passing on. So the next one is Abraham. And who's got that? Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, and I think there's a couple of others.
Now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
Wow. Amen. And someone's got Genesis 15, verses 1 to 6. This is again about Abraham, the man of faith.
After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I'm your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, the sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, you've given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to them, so shall be your offspring. And Abraham believed God, and he credited to him as righteousness.
Wow. So God makes these amazing promises to Abraham, makes a covenant with Abraham, and then he changed his name to Abraham. And this covenant was a covenant of faith, and what God promised Abraham comes right down to you and me today. He was making a promise that went way beyond just his immediate relatives. And it says that Abraham believed God. So for a covenant to work, we must believe God's word. We have to believe his promises. We need to believe what he says. That's the way that covenant works. So Abraham believed God, and it says it was accounted to him for righteousness. And if you read from verse, we won't do this now, but from verse 7 to 18, we read there about how that Abraham got an offering of a heifer, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Now, I'm not suggesting that you do this at home, all right? But that's what he did, because in those days, they sacrificed animals and shed their blood and cut them in two and did strange things with them. And then the blood formed part of that covenant that was made. Now, God instructed Abraham to do this, and then it says that he knocked him out. He basically went to sleep. He fell into a kind of a trance, a deep sleep. And while he went into this sleep with these dead animals that had been cut in two and their blood was poured out, God made a covenant, sealed his covenant through the blood that was sacrificed there. In other words, confirmed what he had said to Abraham. And it says, and just read you the last verse here. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham after this happened. And God came down and moved amongst these sacrifices. And he said these words, "To your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. And the Perizzites as well." And he said, all of these people are going to belong to you. You're going to basically going to possess the land where they're living at the moment, which is now Israel, but it's much bigger than what Israel is. This was the promise of God that God gave to Abraham as a covenant. Okay? Now, we're going to read about God's covenant to Moses. Exodus chapter 2, verses 24 to 25.
God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them.
Thank you. Was the next one? No, okay. Someone's got chapter 3 and verses 1 to 8. This is all about, thanks Christina, this is all about Moses. God's making this covenant, renewing his covenant, confirming his covenant to Moses, who is now leading the people of Israel. Okay.
Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames and fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. As this Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the land of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land into the good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hevites, and Jebusites.
Hey. That's great. Okay, so God makes a promise to, he renews the covenant to Moses, and this is now not just for Moses, this is for a people. This is for the Jews, this is for the people of Israel. And God made three things. For the people of Israel, he made a promise, for a people, and a place. Promise, people, place. So three things that the Jews, the people of Israel, God made a promise to a people for a place. That's their land, the land of Israel. That's why there's so much conflict in the Middle East. Is it's all about God's promise to a chosen people, the Jews. It has nothing to do with whether they deserve it or not. It has to do with God's election, God's plan for them. And I'm just going to read in Exodus 34, if you want to read it for yourselves, it's between verses 1 and 14, well worth reading. But I'll just read the second half. It says, the Lord came down in a cloud. Moses had got some tablets, not aspirins, big stone rocks, okay? And he chiseled out on these tablets of stone the law of God. The Ten Commandments and God's laws were written down on these. This is part of God's covenant. This was the old covenant, the things that God required of his people, how they were to be holy and so on. It says, and the Lord descended in the cloud, stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed that he was God, that he was merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity. This is the God of the Old Testament. This is the same God in the Old Covenant. by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. Consequences of sin. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, if I have found grace in your sight, Lord, let my Lord go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and sin, and take us as your inheritance. And he said, behold, I make a covenant, there it is, before all your people, I will do marvels, wonders, such as has not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord, for it's an awesome thing that I will do with you. Observe what I command you this day. In other words, obey God's instructions. Because I'm driving out before you the enemy. Take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you're going, lest it be a snare in your midst. But you shall destroy their altars and break their sacred pillars and cut down their wooden images. For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. So God is setting up in this covenant clear boundaries. And he's saying, if you put me first, and if you do the things I say, you'll be blessed. You'll be a blessed people. But make sure, because I'm making a covenant with you, that you keep within what I've said. And don't make a covenant with idols. Right? So all of these things are written in the Old Covenant and in our Bibles as lessons to help us understand about covenant and about their lessons and examples for us as we follow Jesus in the New Covenant. So let's hear about now, we're going to hear about David, 1 Chronicles 15, verses 25 to 29. Was that Marcia?
That's
moi. Okay.
Okay, so David and the elders of Israel and the commanders of the units of 1,000 went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord from the house of Edom with rejoicing. Because God had helped the Levites who were carrying the ark of the covenant of the Lord, seven bulls and seven rams were sacrificed. Now David was clothed in a robe of fine linen and were the singers and the Kenaniah, who was in charge of the singing of the choirs. David also wore a linen ephod. So all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouts and the sounding of rams, horns and trumpets, and of cymbals and the playing of lyres and harps. As the ark of the covenant of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window, and when she saw King David dancing and celebrating, she despised him from her heart.
Wow.
Oh.
So here we have a situation that King David, God makes a covenant with King David, and David has the Ark of the Covenant, and the Ark of the Covenant was a golden box. It was a box overlaid with gold, and it represented the presence of God. And there were certain things in that ark. So wherever that ark went, the presence of God went. And David got very excited and he danced and whirled because the presence of God was being taken back to Jerusalem. God was leading his people back to their promised land and the promised Jerusalem there. Jerry.
Amen. So 1 Chronicles 16, verses 1 to 2. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And looking at 1 Chronicles 16, verses 15 to 18. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance.
Wow. Thanks, Jerry. Great. That was excellent. Well read, all of you. We've been hearing this morning about God's covenant, the covenant he made, and it started back with Adam and Eve, and it carries all the way through. And what we're going to do, we're just going to go dip now into the New Testament. God had a covenant people. He gave them his laws. And there's one thing that the laws that God gave, the Ten Commandments and the laws that he gave to his people, he promised them a land. He promised them a whole area that they were to live in. He promised them that he'd never leave them, he'd always be with them, that he was in covenant to protect them and keep them and to bless them. But they were to keep his word. And if you read just even a few chapters in the Old Testament, you realise that the people of Israel weren't very good at keeping God's word. They weren't very good at keeping what God had asked them to do. Their sin got in the way. Deception got in the way. Lots of things got in the way. And what we learn from the Old Testament is that God is holy, that God is righteous and just, and so is his laws. But we find that we find there are difficulties that God's people can't keep his laws. So there's a problem with the old covenant. There's a difficulty. And God set the old covenant up so that at his appointed time, he'd send someone to come and to enable us to live in the new covenant. Because one thing that God's people couldn't do is that live a holy life. They tried their best, and all the law did was condemn them, because the law said, this is how you're to live, and these are the conditions, and they failed at every hurdle. Sometimes you might feel like you're like that, but I tell you, in the Old Testament times, you definitely would have failed, because you can't keep God's laws. And we're now going to look into the New Testament. Now listen to this. The Old Covenant revealed God's law, and it revealed his character. It revealed his truth. It revealed his standard. It revealed his holiness, his mercy and love. But the one thing it couldn't do, and that was to change us. The old covenant couldn't change us. So it revealed God. God would even come amongst his people, but it couldn't change them. And because it was incomplete without the new covenant. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Are you staying with me in this? Yeah. So we're talking about being changed. Anyone want to be changed this morning? Yeah. Right? God's changing us. God is changing us as people. But I've got some good news today. Is God really put on my heart. We're going to get there in a minute. But I wanted to do this as a preliminary, really. Is in Luke 22, verse 20... Jesus talks there about the new covenant. We celebrated it this morning in my blood. Jesus made a new covenant, a new promise by the shedding of his blood, whereby you and I can be changed.
Hallelujah.
Whereby we can be a changed people.
Hallelujah.
Whereby we can actually not just know about his character, but his character is going to change us. His power is going to change us. His grace is going to change us. And I'd like us to go to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. It says here, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. See, the law, the Old Testament law, was a curse. Not because what it said was wrong, but because it couldn't change us. Are you with me? The Old Testament law, all the laws of God in there, are holy and right. They're God's standards. But in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. It was a curse. Because basically, it showed up our sin. It said, this is how you're to live. And then man realized that he wasn't living and couldn't live it. Couldn't possibly live it. And so he was condemned by the word of God, really. Condemned in his own sin. And it says here, Christ has come and has redeemed us. That means bought us with his blood from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. He was a sin offering when he hung on that cross for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And then verse 14, that the blessing, he became a curse for us, so that the blessing of Abraham, right, the covenant God made to Abraham, the blessing of Abraham might come upon you. The blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, the non-Jews, in Christ Jesus, that we might receive, listen to this, the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Amen.
Now the whole point of the new covenant, where God was getting, God knew that the old covenant had a shelf life. And that he knew that when he came into the new covenant that he made through Jesus would be eternal. It would be the real thing he wanted. And when the new covenant came, it says here that the promise that God made to us through the blessing of Abraham, it came all the way down, right, all the way down through to Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, and, you know, Jesus was descended, a direct descendant from King David. He was he was in the line there. He was in the line of promise. And it says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the new covenant is based upon the blood of Jesus being shed for you and me so that we could be forgiven and redeemed, but also so that we could then receive the Holy Spirit to come and live in us. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of the Father, the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that can change us. Because of this new covenant that he made through Jesus. And he wants us to receive the promise of the Spirit. If we're born again, we've got the promise of the Spirit, but we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be overflowing with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, promised by God through Jesus, in the new covenant, gives us the victory. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit that changes you and changes me and makes us whole. The Spirit of truth. So in the new covenant, God doesn't just say, well, these are my standards, but he says, these are my standards. I'm going to give you my Spirit to make you holy on the inside. I'm going to give you my Spirit to make you whole inside of you. Amen. I'm going to give you my Spirit to break strongholds in your mind and to set you free in your emotions and to bring healing into your whole being. Yes. Does that make sense? The Holy Spirit has been promised to us to do this, to bring to us everything that Jesus did on the cross when he crucified our old sinful nature, when he carried our sins, and then when he rose up from the dead, he came to give us his eternal life, didn't he? Through the Spirit, and he's brought us into a new covenant. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you read in verse 26, it says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, and by the way, we're looking forward to these baptisms. We've got quite a few people being baptized in a few weeks' time. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew or Greek, there's neither slave or free, there's neither male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. In other words, you're part of the promise that God made to Abraham in the covenant. And you're heirs according to the promise. Amen. Now come with me to Hebrews, and we're just going to stick in Hebrews just for a few minutes while I explain a few things here. Are you still with me?
Yes.
You haven't left me, that's good. Okay, Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews 8 and verses 6 to 30. This is, if you like, a very compact Bible study. And that's why it's good to write down references, take the CD away with you, and get to grips with what God is saying. Because in verse 6 here, it says, but now he has obtained, talking about Jesus, a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. What's a mediator?
Go-between.
It's someone who is like a bridge between one person and another. And he mediates between God the Father and you through the Holy Spirit. He's the mediator of the new covenant. In other words, he's the one that enables you to live in all of the goodness and all the blessings of the new covenant through the Holy Spirit that he's given to you. Does this make sense?
Yes.
He's the mediator of a better covenant. And then it says, the first covenant had been if the first covenant, the old covenant, had been faultless, then there would be no need for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, this is what God says in the book of Jeremiah, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant. And I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, says the Lord. And this is talking about the new covenant. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God. And they shall be my... Now, this is the new covenant. God says the difference here is that God's going to write these laws, his laws, his spiritual laws and the things in his word, and he's going to write them on our hearts and he's going to write them on our minds. And he says, I will be your God and you'll be my people. So it's gone beyond just being the Jews now, God's historical, you know, God's chosen people, which they are. And the whole point why God chose Israel was so that all of the nations on the earth would be blessed that they would come to know the covenant-keeping God through God's people Israel. Now we find that in the new covenant, because Jesus came, he was a Jew, he came to the people, the Jews, and they basically, most of them, rejected him. And then God said, right, now this covenant is going to go out from here to the whole earth, so that people like you and me can repent and believe in Jesus and become Christians and enter into a new the new covenant with God, which is for every person on the face of this planet. Amen. Okay? And it says, this covenant that I will make, I'll write on their mind and write on their hearts. None of them shall teach his neighbour and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Amen. In that he says a new covenant, he has made the first one obsolete. It's finished. Hallelujah. The new covenant supersedes the old.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So all that God said in the old covenant is fulfilled in the new covenant. So now we are all in the new covenant because of Jesus' blood.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Are we all there?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, we got there. Right, good.
Hallelujah.
So what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Now, Hebrews 9:11. Hebrews 9:11. It says, Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, in heaven, actually. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. Jesus entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh. That's what they used to do in the Old Covenant. They used the blood of bulls and goats, the sprinkling that covered their sin. It didn't actually forgive them, it covered their sin. It was a temporary fixture that God put into place. But it's saying, how much more in the new covenant shall the blood of Christ, verse 14, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God.
Amen.
And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the sins under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. I know we're talking a lot of words this morning, a lot of scriptures, but that's okay. It's all truth. Don't worry if you don't understand it all. Get the CD and listen to it. But the important thing is this, is that Jesus is the mediator through the Holy Spirit of the new covenant in your life.
Amen.
And he wants you to receive every promise that he's made, so you receive your full inheritance that's in Christ Jesus as a son or a daughter of God, as a child of God. Amen.
Amen.
It's called living in freedom.
Amen.
It's called living in our rights as children of God. And Romans 5:8-9 says that God demonstrates his love to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That tells us that God's covenant was before we even responded. God had already made his covenant. He'd already planned his covenant. He'd already chosen you. He'd already chosen Carol, he'd chosen Dave, he'd chosen Simon, he'd chosen each one of us, even before we were born. But it will be for us to respond to his covenant and enter into that covenant that he's made through his precious blood. That's what covenant is. And I want us to turn to Hebrews 13, please, this morning. Hebrews 13, I'm just going to speak about this for a few minutes and then we're going to respond to God. And this is a key scripture. We may come and visit this one again in a couple of weeks' time. Hebrews 13:20. Because God is in covenant with you this morning.
Amen.
He's made a covenant. He's actually made a covenant to this church. He's made a covenant to churches and to his people. He's made a covenant to you. And it says here at the end of Hebrews 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete.
Amen.
I just want you to take hold of this. God has made a new covenant through Jesus Christ, through his precious blood to you. And the fact is, we're not living in all of the good of the new covenant. I don't know that any of us are, actually. We want to, but we're not. And the whole purpose of us becoming Christians and walking with God is so that we'll enter into, and the more that we go on with God, we are enjoying more and more of the benefits of the new covenant that he made when he shed his blood for us on the cross. It's not just about forgiveness of sins. That's the negative side removed. But it's receiving his life in all of its fullness and getting to grips and understanding the truth of who he is for us, understanding who he is in your life and getting to know him, and then understanding what his will is for you to do for him, all comes out of this new covenant that he's made. And God says we can't do any of it without the Holy Spirit. So we desperately need to be men and women filled with the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to come and release to us all that he has promised in the new covenant. And it says, I make you, through this blood of the everlasting covenant, I make you complete. Amen. He wants to make you complete. Another word for that is make you perfect. You say, well, I can't possibly be perfect. I'm so imperfect. But the Bible says that he wants to make you complete. He wants to perfect you. It's an ongoing work. He wants to, I looked it up in the Greek, adjust you. He does this in the new covenant. He adjusts us. Sometimes big adjustments, sometimes small adjustments. But he wants to adjust the way that you think. He wants to adjust the way that you feel. He wants to adjust your attitudes. He wants to adjust our mindsets. He wants to change us into his likeness. Amen. And there's very practical things that we have to do in response to God for him to change us and bring us into the blessings of the new covenant. He wants to make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, I want to read this to you out of the Amplified Bible, these couple of verses. It says this, now may the God of peace, who is the author and the giver of peace, who brought again from among the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood that sealed and ratified the everlasting covenant, may he strengthen, may he complete, may he perfect you and make you what you ought to be. This is God's covenant to you. This is what he's promised to do. May he strengthen you. May he complete you. May he perfect you and make you what you ought to be. And I'm sure all of us are going, yes, that's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. And equip you with everything good. Amen. Give you everything good through the Holy Spirit. Give you everything good that you may carry out his will. We've got to receive things from God, good things from God, so that we can do his will. We can't do his will without him. We need him through and through, don't we? We need him every step of the way. And he makes a promise here that he wants to strengthen you, complete you, perfect you, adjust you, change you, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good so that you can carry out his will, while he himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ the Messiah, to whom be the glory forever and ever, to the ages of the ages. Amen. Amen. Can you just play that? I just want us to close our eyes this morning. God's covenant that he made in the Old Testament became the new covenant in the New Testament that we read in the Bible. And he's made a covenant of blessing for each one of us. And it says that he's the God of peace. He's your God of peace today. If you have anything that is not peaceful this morning, God wants to take that away from you today. He wants you to cast it down at his feet. I saw people this morning carrying anxieties and fears and worries. Not everyone, but I saw there are things that we can very easily pick up on the way. But God says this morning, I'm your God of the new covenant. Jesus is the mediator. And he wants to take away anything that is not full of his peace this morning. And I want you to cast it down at his feet this morning. Anxiety, worry, fear, unbelief, pride, anything at all that's in the way, cast it at his feet. And the way back to God in the new covenant is always repentance and faith. Repentance is that fresh turning to God that and saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want to think like this. I don't want to be like this. I want you to change me. God responds to very, very simple prayers like that. I want you to change me, Lord. And this morning I'm going to invite you to come forward, not to put the finger on you, but actually just come forward to respond to the Lord. If there's something you want to just bow down and give to God. And I saw people bowing down this morning, that we all need to do it, just to kneel down before His in His presence this morning if we're able to. May the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant that He made, make you complete. That means physically. We've heard about that today. He wants to heal people. Make you perfect, perfect you, adjust you, change you as a person. Make you what He wants you to be. Make you whole in your emotions. Carry away the things that you've carried and still carry today. I want this morning to cast it down at His feet this morning and see what God will do, because He's the author of the new covenant. And He's promised to bless you and to release His Holy Spirit afresh upon each one of us today as we come to Him. May He complete you, may He strengthen you, may He perfect you, may He adjust you, may He change you today in every good work to do His will. He wants to change us so that we can effectively do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Just over these next 3-4 minutes, just come forward. Just come forward. Just start responding to God. Just give yourself afresh to Him this morning. If you're saying, God, I want you to change me some more this morning, Lord, I just give you my life afresh today. Just come forward. Just kneel down if you can. I know the floor's hard, but it's clean. It's clean. Just kneel down before the Lord. And just let the Holy Spirit come and minister to you. Just cast at His feet anything this morning that's on your mind, anything that's in your heart today. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up. This new covenant is a new covenant of blessing that He's made. That He is here to change us into His likeness. Thank you, Lord. He is here to strengthen you. He made a promise. He wants to make you whole, and He wants to make you right with Him. And if you're walking with God the best you know, but you know there's still things that hang on to you, then just give them to God this morning. Hand them over to the Saviour. Hand them over to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit will deliver and set you free. The Holy Spirit will heal you and make you whole in your emotions, in your soul. He is adjusting all of us. He is adjusting us as a church. He is changing us. Some of it is uncomfortable. Some of it feels difficult. But God is a good God. He is a God of the new covenant. May He strengthen you today. May He put His peace in your heart. Where there's been anguish and fear and worry and trouble, we bind those things today in the name of Jesus. We bind those things today in the name of Jesus. Those things that trouble, those things that cause trouble, we bind them up today in the name of Jesus. And we cast them down, Lord, at Your feet today. Every worry, every fear, we give them to You, Lord. And we receive fresh strength from You today, Lord. That You strengthen us, Lord. You perfect us. You adjust us, Lord. So that we can do Your will, Lord. So that we can do Your will. Not our own will, but Your will, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Just pray to the Lord. Just speak to Him. Just between you and Him. Just speak to Him this morning. Jesus, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Because of His blood that He shed for you, He has made a covenant to bless you and to change you, to meet with Him in a new way. Just say this prayer. We say, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, Thank you for the new covenant that you made through your precious blood. Today, Lord, I cast down at your feet everything that is not of you. Every fear, anxiety, trouble, I cast down at your feet in the name of Jesus. And just ask the Lord for forgiveness if there's anything, if any of you, whether you're down the front or sitting in your seat, just ask the Lord for forgiveness this morning for doing anything in your own strength, for trying to do things in your own way. God wants us to be dependent upon him, not independent. Father, just wash us and cleanse us with your blood this morning. And we just pray, Lord, right now that people, every one of us, we just receive your strength and your peace today. I speak the peace of God because of the blood of Jesus over every person here today. I speak the peace of God into the church today. I speak that peace into everyone this morning. Lord, you speak that peace, Lord. Minister your peace into every heart, Lord, every mind. I speak your peace, Lord, into people's emotions this morning, into their soul, Lord. It says you want to give us rest, Lord. Now strengthen, complete, adjust and perfect every single person here today, Lord. Make them what you want them to be, Lord. And equip them, Lord, to do every good thing, Lord, to carry out your will according to your purpose. And we ask this, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.